The following is brought to you by the Social Suplex Podcast Network.
This is John Silver, lead recruiter of the Dark Order, and you are listening to All Things Elite.
Welcome to the 152nd episode of Social Suplex's podcast about AEW with a proclivity for positivity. Welcome to All Things Elite. My name is Austin Summers, and I am the host of this lovely show. Joining with me, as always, is my good buddy and friend, Floyd Johnson Jr. My man, how are you doing?
Dude, I mean, I'm going to kind of spoil the show because we just found out like 45 seconds ago. Anarchy in the arena.
Yes.
It's like literally. So we're talking and we're talking about how there hasn't been a lot for Double or Nothing announced. And I literally refresh and it says 19 seconds ago, AEW Anarchy in Arena is official. We'll talk more about that later and what that entails, like, from what we know. But it's still kind of crazy that we were talking about there being nothing, and then we got something else.
But it's like they're reading our minds.
They are in here. I'm pretty sure TK is a listener of All Things Elite every week.
I'd hope so.
You know, I'm pretty sure he is our number one fan. You know, he had one of his burner accounts follows our Twitter. It's cool. Hey, TK.
He had to make sure we weren't a bot.
TK, recording. It's recorded and verified. You can steal literally any of my ideas you want. Just, you know, when, you know, ticket time comes out, you know, just, you know, I'll pay for them. Just give me the good seats. You know what I mean?
So as will I.
You see me sitting front row center on the camera side, just know.
Basically the same place where Green Shirt Guy sits.
Yes, you just know that means TK has stolen one of my ideas and he's trying to give me props, but that's all I want. I only want tickets. I don't want to get paid. You don't have to pay me on payroll. I mean, me and Austin both have pretty decent jobs, so we don't need that. But you know what will help us? Not having to wait in Ticketmaster and Access's line. That's it. That's all I don't want to do. That's it. It has nothing to do with how much the tickets cost. It has nothing. It's the waiting in the line at Access. It's in Ticketmaster, like, oh, clicking. Oh, these tickets are gone. You can just end my suffering. But just, you know, hooking your boy up with some tickets. You know, it's cool.
Yeah. That's all we need. But
hey, third row. Great. I don't need first row. I'm not greedy. Third. I'll take third. No, I'm just kidding. But no, if you can tell, I'm in a pretty spectacular mood. We are less than a week away to we are in Las Vegas for Double or Nothing weekend. I am excited. You know, I always say that. I'm like, AEW pay-per-views are home for me. It's like where I'm just my most comfortable and exciting and just happy. That's where I'm just happy. It's just like, I know my boys in the other place, but it's like, AEW's still home, man. Like last night, that 2 hours of wrestling. I almost can say that they try to put too much in 2 hours. I've said that before on other shows, but good Lord. It's so much packed into a show. You can't really look away. You can't really go to the bathroom because something else is going to happen. So, yeah, I look forward to Wednesdays. Ever in my life that I thought that the day I would look forward to most in the week is hump day.
Yeah. So we got, of course, like you said, like so much was packed into this week's Dynamite. We got to talk about that and, of course, preview what we have coming up as we get closer and closer to Double or Nothing in Las Vegas on May 29th, live on pay-per-view. But before we get into everything, we want to make sure you guys are downloading this fine show on Google or Apple Podcasts. If you listen to us on Spotify or any other podcasting platforms, please give us a share with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. You can leave a rating and a review, and if you're so inclined, you can also leave a donation through our podcast provider Red Circle. We would be forever in your good graces if you would do that. But the easiest way for you to support us is by following us on social media. We are at AT Elite Pod on Twitter. At Social Suplex are the guys that make this show possible. Check out their many, many other shows they have on their network. You will not be disappointed. I am at Austin Sumowicz, S-Z-U-M-O-W-I-C-Z. And Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. And of course, like we mentioned at the top of the show, the big news is that we got the immediate announcement. Like, this is breaking to us when we're recording this. By the time that this podcast comes out, it'll have been a few hours. You guys all know about this already. But Anarchy in the Arena has officially been announced. They teased a lot on Dynamite, which we'll get into the segment itself. But we have the match announced as it is. Jon Moxley, Bryan Danielson, Santana and Ortiz, and Eddie Kingston facing off against the Jericho Appreciation Society. 5-on-5, Anarchy in the Arena, not Stadium Stampede. Anarchy in the Arena. I know myself and probably a lot of other people were hoping because William Regal was involved, we'd get Blood and Guts, a.k.a. War Games. Not the case. I know that's on me for building that up in my head. I swore we were going to get War Games and I was going to shit myself. And honestly, I was like, just like, man, if I could just be live for a War Games, that would be nuts. But you know what? This is going to be wild in itself. We don't have to worry about it being on a TV screen the whole time. A lot of action will be happening in the arena, so we'll actually be able to see it live, which is good. As somebody who went to a Monday Night Raw where we had to see the Wyatt compound match between the New Day, we watched that all on TV. It was lame. I wanted to see them in person. It wasn't the case, but I'm glad that we're most likely going to be able to see this stuff happen in the arena, in the T-Mobile arena, for Double or Nothing. So this is huge, honestly. This match is like going to have so much shit going on. Like, there's going to be crazy amounts of violence. No, anything goes in this match. And yeah, this is going to be a wild, wild situation. And yeah, I'm just hyped, dude. Like we said, we were hoping for more announcements for Double or Nothing matches. We only had about like four like confirmed up until this point. So having this at least officially announced is a very welcome thing. But yeah, Floyd, go ahead. Your full thoughts on Anarchy in the Arena.
Oh my God. I am so excited. This is my most anticipated match of the show. I was one of those people. I was really sick of Santana Ortiz and Eddie Kingston getting beat up every week and fireballs thrown in their eyes. And I was just like, come on, this gotta be leading somewhere. And oh my God, I was thinking, okay, they're going to bring in Homicide Hernandez. I was like, well, he used to work with these people. I was just coming up with all these like people outside of AEW. And the answer was right there. Moxley and Danielson didn't have anything planned for Double or Nothing. The answer was right in front of us. And it's a better answer than any other answer out there. It's just like, I mean, it's like, oh, why go looking somewhere when you got the perfect answer right there? You have the most violent man in professional wrestling, Jon Moxley, and you have the best, one of the best all-around professional wrestlers in pro wrestling, Mr. Bryan Danielson. Willa Yuta is over there, which I'll have that report later, is over there in the over there in Japan in the Best of the Super Juniors. I knew the words. I just wasn't finding them. Best of the Super Juniors. And he's over there having a good time. And it's just like, oh, there you go. One's gone. There's five. Fight. And Stadium Stampede was my original thought. I'm like, Allegiant Stadium's right there. It's an NFL stadium. You know, TK and Shy call Mark Davis and like, okay, I know you haven't wrestling there in July. Let's do Stadium Stampede. They like, no, we're not, as Jon Moxley say, I ain't doing that sports entertainment bullshit. Oh my God, that was such a good line.
So that was great. I ain't doing that shit.
I ain't doing that shit. And yes, so we get anarchy in the arena. In the arena, we're all going to be in the crowd. They're going to probably be fighting in the crowd. They might get on top of us. We might get a little blood, sweat, and tears on us. Let's. You got to say the battle cry. What's the battle cry, AEW? Let's fucking go.
Yeah, so massive announcement for Double or Nothing. I'm geeking for this match. It's going to be incredible. I'm pumped, dude. Like, I love the fact that we're going to get this type of insane match at the show. It's going to be wild. But we got a lot more to talk about, of course, with AEW Dynamite taking place this week. So we'll get right ahead into Wild Card Wednesday taking place in Houston, Texas. Opening things off, we had an Owen Hart Foundation quarterfinal matchup in the men's tournament with the Ring of Honor World TV champion Samoa Joe facing off against whoever was the Joker for the men's championship. And Floyd, you got his first name right. You didn't get the last name right. The Joker facing off against Samoa Joe is Johnny Elite, John Morrison, Johnny Mundo, Johnny Nitro, Johnny Impact, whatever you fancy.
Yes. Okay. Was it the name any of us wanted? No. But it was a surprise. I know. I mean, it's serious. I have no problem with Johnny Mundo, Johnny Nitro, Johnny everything. I'm glad he's Johnny Elite for tonight. And it was a nice surprise. You know, there was a lot of ways you could have went. I I've been trying to do more Twitter engagement. So I put all our guesses out there. And yeah, I was wrong on both. Someone was right on one. We'll talk about that later. But, Johnny Elite. I got the right name. But, so, my other guest was Athena in Vermoon, and she went out of her way to destroy that by literally twitching live from her house 15 minutes before Dynamite started.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah. I don't think it's going to be her.
My guess for the men's was Juice Robinson, because I thought, hey, you know what? If they wanted somebody to promote New Japan to build up for Forbidden Door, Juice is a guy that everyone hasn't seen on AEW yet, and I'd be down to see Juice, honestly. And also, I knew it couldn't be Johnny Gargano, because if he was to show up, he wouldn't be losing in a quarterfinal match for a tournament. That wouldn't be the first thing that he did.
I got to tell you, I prefer Juice Robinson. I would have preferred Juice Robinson.
Sure.
It's just like, because I feel like he's been really good since he joined the Bullet Club, that swerve, so it would have been like to come in. But yeah, you think about free agents that aren't signed with anyone, you know, it does narrow it down a lot more. Johnny Elite hadn't returned to Impact, so that probably should have been the big, you know, like red flag that, you know, he might be coming to AEW.
Plus, it's just cool for the fact that John Morrison or Johnny Elite, Johnny Mundo has been in probably every single American promotion to date, except Ring of Honor and AEW.
He hasn't been Johnny Honor yet.
I don't believe he has. No. Oh, so God. I mean, like,
so now that'd be so awesome that if when he competes in AEW, he's Johnny Elite, and when he competes in Ring of Honor, he's Johnny of Honor.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Yeah. So I mean, again, it's just cool considering how much this dude's been around and how he's been incredible wherever he goes. So, and again, of course, I said, like, we were all going into this knowing that Samoa Joe was most likely going to be moving on to the next round, and the match was great. Honestly, Johnny Elite did a great job in this match. Samoa Joe did great as well. There was a couple spots, like he went for a 450 splash and Joe was pretty far out there, so he kind of had to go on the knees and then splash. So wasn't like anything like awful or anything like that, but match was solid. Joe got the win with the muscle buster and goes on to the semifinals of the men's tournament for Owen Hart Foundation. And yeah, like it was just a genuinely cool thing. And as far as we've been told, this seems like it's going to be a one-off. Like Johnny Elite has not signed with AEW. This looks like it'll just be a one-time moment. He can say he was in AEW. He faced off against Samoa Joe. And then, yeah, maybe he goes to Ring of Honor like he hasn't done, or maybe he goes somewhere else. To me, like, John Morrison seems like the guy that he would either open up a wrestling school or a parkour school. Like, this dude could literally teach, like, the shit that he does, like, a parkour school ran by John Morrison, Johnny Elite, Johnny Mundo. That'd be fucking sick. Like, because then, like, even if he wants to get away from pro wrestling, he could teach, like, I could imagine he could teach parkour, because that would be crazy, I think. But it was really cool to see him. I know a lot of people were thinking other people, but again, I didn't have my hopes crazy high for who the Joker would be, because again, like I said, it had to be somebody that was going to most likely lose in the quarterfinals, and it wouldn't really suffer for it. So that's why I didn't think Johnny Gargano, though. Like, who knows, maybe he'll show up some other time, but like, at this point, like, who knows? But like, it's just exciting to see the people that they do decide to put on TV.
Yeah, like I said, really good match. Morrison or Elite, Johnny Elite, is someone who's a consistent worker wherever he is. He's a draw. Fans like him. I was down with it. There was a nice little pop in Houston for it, and that was a good match. Well, what happened after the match, sir?
Moving on after that, we had a backstage interview with the Hardys as Jeff Hardy was preparing. I did not necessarily, like, it's not that I didn't want to talk about it, but Jay Lethal, Sanjay Dutt, Satnam Singh came out and blindsided Joe after the match, continuing that feud. Trent, Rocky Romero, and Chuck Taylor came down to even the odds, and that was the end of that.
That might be leading to something somewhere, maybe, because I keep thinking we need a casino battle royale, and there's a lot of people not on the show, so
yeah,
you know, so that could be happening.
It could be. It very much could be. But I honestly forgot about Satnam Singh. Listen, Satnam Singh could be great. I just kind of forgot. That's on me, but I forgot.
That's what I'm here for. I saw that you were skipping. I was like, let's throw that up, little piece in there. Let's go. Yeah, let's go to the next segment.
Yes, then we had the backstage interview with the Hardys as Jeff was preparing for his quarterfinal matchup in the Owen Hart Men's Tournament, and they got interrupted by the Young Bucks basically being like, Jeff, like, how long can you be doing this at this point? Like, oh, you know what? Take the night off, you know, like, you don't want to go up against Kyle, like, just let it go. And he's like, listen, I got a tournament to win, y'all. And they called them out for being Hardy cosplayers. And Matt Hardy said, if you guys interfere, Adam Cole won't be the only one getting his ass whipped by the Hardys. So, teasing a possible match between the Young Bucks and the Hardy Boys.
They basically said, Hardys, you too old. That's what he said to Jeff Hardy.
Yeah.
He said, you too old. And, you know, let's see where it goes from there. Oh, man, I've been calling. It's like they've been painting this picture on BTE that this is where it was going. You know, Hardys and Young Bucks at Double or Nothing. I just want to know if it's just going to be the Hardys and Young Bucks.
Yes, of course. We'll have to see what comes of that. We then had CM Punk come out, preparing to go on to commentary to scout the AEW World Champion Hangman Adam Page going up against Konosuke Takeshita. So, Takeshita. These two kicked the hell out of each other. Like, Takeshita had a really, really great performance, obviously, of DDT fame. And these guys were doing move after move and just completely knocking each other all over the place. To call it, like, this was the most move-filled match, I feel like, on the entire show. And there were multiple times where Hangman is staring off and keeping his eye on CM Punk off to the side. Punk saying, I got him right where I want him with how he's in his head. And of course, in Punk's match that Hangman was scouting, he proceeded to hit the buckshot or punk shot lariat, as you may. And CM, and in response, Hangman proceeded to hit the GTS after using the buckshot lariat. He uses the GTS to pin Takeshita and win the match.
The GTS I've ever seen in my life. It was terrible.
It was awful. It looks like garbage. A child. Terrible.
It looked like a child.
I thought Kenta's version was crap, but no. Hangman has the worst GTS in the history of the business.
Absolutely.
I will say it right here, right now.
Kenny Omega could have a doll GTS him better than Hangman GTS.
That's what I'm saying.
Takeshita. All right. Now, let me tell you about this match. So, this is shout out to my girl, Issa. Because, honestly, you know, I didn't know who about this guy. I knew he was from DDT. And I knew one person that goes to all the DDT shows, like, that's there, like, every week watching all the shows and talks about how beautiful and how great DDT is. My girl, Issa. So, I asked her, educate me, school me. Because I'm not one of those know-it-all typing on the keyboard in their parents' basement wrestling fans. I don't know shit. I'll ask. Let me know. And she educated me. She's like, he's agile. He's strong. He's only like 23 years old. He's been the champion there like three or four times. He's like Kenny Omega. It was like Kenny Omega and Ibushi had a baby. That's what she was doing. She was putting this dude over for me. And I had watched him the first couple weeks. I saw him in this match against Jay Lethal. And I was like, okay. I saw something, but not all the way. And then I saw him on Dark. And I was like, maybe. And, you know, Issa listens to the show every. I was thinking about maybe Issa was looking through DDT colored glasses. Then last night happened. And I saw everything she told me about the star power, the strikes, the explosiveness, the power, the speed. Oh my God, this is a five-tool wrestler. Like, this, there's nothing this man can't do. Like, not many cases I say star-making performance. And I'm not saying this because someone said it to me. I literally, like, I sent this message on All Things Elite. Star making performance. It was like, oh my God, like after this match, this dude can't just go back to like the mid card. You have to be pushing him to something, whether it's a TNT title match or whatever. This dude is amazing and he has talent. And it was just like, Issa was right. That's all I could think. Issa was right. I tweeted it out from my personal account. Issa was right because. And 16 minutes, I believe, this match went on. I literally saw everything she told me. And it was like, this is why you ask questions. This is why you ask people that know more than you about certain subjects than you do. She educated me. I wasn't surprised. I was told how good he was. And there he was. Because if you're going to ask anybody about Japanese wrestling, anybody about Japanese wrestling, I only know one person that's like at every show for all the companies, and that's Issa. So you ask her, and so she knows what the hell she's talking about. Dude, I'm a fan. I mean, like, as far as AEW, he's jumped into my top 10, in my personal Floyd top 10. He's really, really good at wrestling. Like, and I mean, I don't ever want to compliment this man. Ever, but good Lord, Hangman gave him a lot. You know, you're the world champion. You know, if you want to play politics, you don't have to give this man that much. You don't have to make him look that good, and he did. And then after, if you go to Hangman's like personal page, he cuts a promo, like a cell phone promo, just literally putting his over guy, saying he hasn't felt that tired or that beat up since Bryan Danielson, the 1 hour match. And he said that didn't go nearly an hour. He put that man over, started making a performance. Man, yeah.
Shout out Konosuke Takeshita. Like, holy shit, man. Like, did you just come out of nowhere? So this dude had an outstanding match. And yeah, I'll say it, like, TNT Championship, like I would put him in that title picture, because at this point that thing needs a fucking like CPR like right now. So I would put him in that situation at this point right now, dude. I mean, like, of course, like, there's going to be a needing some other performances. I'd like to see more of him, honestly, because I mean, Takeshita did an outstanding job against Hangman. Hangman gave him a ton, but also just fucking the great work of him using the GTS was outstanding, even though he's a punk bitch. And at this point, man, Hangman is like absolutely like this man Punk got him like just all up in his feelings. All up in his feelings. So I'm still so excited for that main event match. I am going to be like out of my seat watching that match. It's going to be exciting. But yeah, this was probably one of the best matches on this Dynamite. It was so good. Shout out again, Konosuke Takeshita. Great work from him on this show. But we then moved on to a tag team match between Limitless Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland facing off against the Workhorsemen, J.D. Drake and Anthony Henry. Now, of course, J.D. Drake and Anthony Henry, very familiar on Dark. But this was a pretty quick work by Keith Lee and Swerve. Like, these guys had some outstanding tag team maneuvers. Like, I will say this first off. When Keith Lee came to AEW, tag team was not my first thought for Keith Lee. It was genuinely, I was like thinking like, man, get this man at the TNT title like ASAP. But I will say, Keith Lee and Swerve, I dig this pairing. I really dig this pairing. Like Swerve, like really being like the super fast moving, like quick talker, and Keith Lee being like the powerful, but just charismatic, just enigma that he is, the Limitless One himself. They did great in this really quick match. That fucking finish where they proceeded to have, they called it the fall from glory, where they had Anthony Henry proceed to get up on to Keith Lee's like in a powerbomb position, and then Swerve goes up and just stomps him to the ground as he gets spirit bombed. Like, what the fuck is that? Like, holy cow. But moving on to after the match was over, I'll say real quick before I give this to Floyd, Keith Lee talks about how he's like, my state, Texas, I got some wonderful news. With this victory, Swerve Strickland and yours truly have now all of a sudden become a top five ranked tag team in AEW. And with that news, they wanted to make a claim for something, but then they were not interrupted by Team Taz's absolute Ricky Starks, the FTW champion, and Powerhouse Hobbs. Ricky Starks was talking about how, like, y'all two thinking you deserve a shot at the AEW Tag Team Championships with me and Hobbs standing right here is insane. And Swerve had a great call calling Ricky Starks a bar soap with a pearl necklace. You're bad for the culture. And I was like fucking dead after that. But then, as they were talking to Team Taz, the AEW World Tag Team Champions themselves, Jurassic Express, along with Christian Cage, walk out, and Christian being like, listen, Ricky, you need to learn when to shut the hell up. Now, these two are both worthy teams, very worthy teams, but they are not the best. We are the best, and as the best, we are used to being challenged, but we're going to be challenging the both of you in a three-way match for the World Tag Team Championships at Double or Nothing. But moving into next week on Dynamite, he wanted Jungle Boy to get his win back over Ricky Starks, and that's with the man who cost him that match. So what he's saying is he wants Jungle Boy versus Ricky Starks versus Swerve Strickland in a triple threat singles match next week on Dynamite. That's a fucking match and a half. And also, triple threat tag team championship match is amazing, though I will say I know my man Floyd, even though I'm sure he enjoyed seeing Keith Lee and Swerve together, I know he's very upset because if you're talking tag team championship in AEW, I think he's asking very, very seriously, where the fuck is his boys FTR?
So I'm gonna talk seriously about, I'm really excited about the triple threat. You got six very athletic, talented people. Shout out to Keith Lee on, I mean, that dude is putting in the work on getting in shape. You can just see his body changing. He's still a massive human being, but you can tell he's getting just a little less massive. And him and Swerve Strickland, great, great tag team. I mean, especially since, you know, it's kind of crowded at the top. Great idea putting them tag team together. Shout out to Powerhouse Hobbs and Ricky Starks, you know, Powerhouse Hobbs, close place in my heart. I love him. He's huge. Big meaty man, slapping meat. You know, that's what I like to see. Him and Keith Lee in a ring, that's what I love. Ricky Starks, just the coolest person ever. The most effortlessly cool human ever. So then going up against the young tag team of Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus, established tag team from the beginning. This match is going to be amazing. It has a chance to stand a solo, Double or Nothing. I am giving them all the credit. The triple threat match. I'm looking, as soon as I roll in As soon as I roll into Las Vegas next week, I'm going to find a way to watch it because I know that match is going to be great. This will be, honestly, the first episode of Dynamite I technically miss. And that's only because I'm going to be driving to Las Vegas at the time. So, that being said, all well and done. Shout out to everybody. You deserve your spot at Double or Nothing. Great. He's like, we are the best, and we're throwing out challenges. So I'm looking at the top five power rankings of AEW. C5, Keith Lee and Swerve, especially after their match. They're on the rise. Great, undefeated, great team, whatever. 4, John Silver, Alex Reynolds. Great team, Beaver Boys. Great team, great team, great team. Gun Club, I think they've only lost once at 3. Love Austin. Love Colton. Bang Bang, love him. Pew Pew, Scissor, you know, all that. Then I see 2. Powerhouse Hobbs and Ricky Starks. And I was like, huh, that's good. Huh. So you say you're the best, and you want to challenge people to prove you're the best. Using that logic. I'm just using logic. I know wrestling doesn't like to use logic. Wouldn't you generally challenge the number one contenders, Austin?
Like if, that is something that you would normally do.
If you're saying you kind of want to prove that you're the best. Well, at number one, I see dual tag team title holders. I see undefeated this year. I see the 2 best tag matches in wrestling this year. They were participants in it. I see FTR right there. And it's like, hoo-doo-hoo. Jungle Boy must have got up on Luchasaurus' neck. You know, they like to do that, get on each other's neck. Because he just looked right over FTR, right? I mean, they're not super tall, so I guess it's not hard to do. But just looked right over my boys, right? So, it seems like someone's what? What? There's this word for it that's used in sports. They're dodging my boys.
They're ducking them.
They're ducking them. Is this Rocky 3? I feel like FTR's Club of Lang right here.
Yeah.
Tony Khan's lining up these other tag teams. He's like, okay, you can take on this tag team. They already hate each other, so they might take each other
out. This guy is a wrecking machine.
So FTR is the wrecking machine. You know what I mean? So they are the machine. They are the automatic win. They are the challengers, pound for pound, the best tag team in the world. So I don't know. It just seems like, God, what's that on Jungle Boy's back? That's a yellow streak. That's what I see. Christian is a genius. Oh, Christian, oh, my God, he's been doing this forever. He knows those boys from Carolina. Woo! You don't want none of them. You don't want none of them boys from Carolina. You don't want none. So we're gonna go to Powerhouse Hobbs and Ricky Starks. They've been a tag team, but have they been a tag team as long as FTR? Right now.
No.
Keith Lee and Swerve, individual talents. Keith Lee, former NXT champion. Swerve Strickland, former North American champion. Keith Lee, Swerve Strickland, hold titles all over America, right? But you know what title they have in hell? Tag team title. They're not a tag team. They're kind of a tag team of convenience. I've seen them on the independents. I've seen the tapes. Tag team of convenience. But there is one professional tag team. They're such a tag team that people don't even distinguish them apart. They just say bald in hair. And everybody might take that as an insult. I get it. No. I am not going to take it as an insult no more. I'm going to bask in it. Because they are such a unit. Such a team that's the only way you can tell they're functioning apart is by their hair. So, again, shout out to Christian. Great mentor. Whatever Jungle Boy and Luchasaurus is paying you, double it. Because you made the most compelling argument for ducking a tag team I've ever heard. You made it sound like you were being brave. But really, you were just ducking a tag team. I get it, and it's smart. That's why you're Christian. That's why you're Captain Charisma. Man, that's why you're a leader, world champion all over the world. That's why. Because you know how to position things. Shout out to you. Yeah, I always liked you more than Edge anyway.
There you go. There you go. There you go. Well, of course, we'll get a little bit more info on FTR very, very shortly. But before that, we have to talk about Wardlow honoring his stipulations for his soon-to-be match at Double or Nothing. If he follows through all those stipulations for that contract, he has to take the 10 lashes from one MJF with a belt. One Cody Rhodes can attest to that. Now, we'll talk real quick before we get into the lashes themselves. Of course, MJF ran down Texas, of course, and saying, like, if you lay a hand on me, the match is not happening at Double or Nothing, and you don't get to sign a contract with AEW. He gets escorted with handcuffs and security, no music, as Wardlow chants happen. Now, of course, if we go back to that famous segment with MJF lashing Cody Rhodes with a belt, it was hard to watch. It was very physical. It was very nauseating a little bit with how Cody was in so much pain with the Nightmare family surrounding him. Brandi Rhodes, Dustin Rhodes, all these people. Even the Young Bucks came out for this, telling him, like, listen, man, this isn't worth it. And Cody valiantly standing up and taking the lashes despite how brutal they were, and they left his back ripped apart. And it was gruesome. And of course, now we had Wardlow receiving the same shit, and he didn't even flinch. He gets slashed in the back the first time, as MJF is expecting the exact same reaction after he spat in his face, hoping Wardlow would punch him. Not gonna happen. And he takes the first lash, and MJF is expecting the exact same thing like with Cody, and Wardlow is laughing. He's laughing and smiling, and MJF would do it. And eventually he takes off his shirt. He's got the black wife beater on, and he goes bam, 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 throwing like three or four consecutive shots. Not happening. At a point, Sean Spears has to hold him back from wasting all the shots. He's screaming, I hate you. I know it hurts. I hate you. And Wardlow is not fazed at all. Sean Spears goes, doesn't even flinch at him. His back is welted up, but this man does not give a fuck. And as they proceed to get towards the last couple lashes with the whip, MJF, knowing that he cannot hurt Wardlow with what he's doing, and this is not going the way that he wants, he calls an audible, and he kicks Wardlow right in the no-no zone, and then just starts whipping him repeatedly. They get him up. He gets the Dynamite Diamond Ring, punches Wardlow in the face. Sean Spears proceeds to hit him with the C4 and covers Wardlow for the three count as MJF counts it, teasing into the fact that Wardlow has to face Sean Spears with MJF as special guest referee in order to make it to Double or Nothing. He's got to get through that, and right there, he just didn't. And Wardlow was being told by MJF, shouting at him, you ain't seeing the pay-per-view, boy. And this was an absolutely incredible flipping of a segment that we have already seen. This was a segment that we saw years ago in AEW Dynamite with the feud between Cody Rhodes and MJF. And this was a situation where it's literally the same. We made the joke about how, like, MJF has the exact same plan for everybody he faces. All the shit that you got to get through in order to face him. And he literally reuses the 10 lashes, except this time, Wardlow is not Cody Rhodes. And Wardlow is very, very much bigger than Cody Rhodes. And this man did not give a fuck with those belt lashes. And it was only until MJF low-blowed him that we got to the point where MJF was over top of Wardlow, got the upper hand on him because he was skeevy and, like, just an asshole. So it was a great flipping, honestly, of a segment that we've seen already. And, like, I love this. The fact that, like, they were able to take something they've already done and then just turn it upside down into something completely different, because Wardlow just no-sold every single one of them. And it was great. And they still got the effect that they wanted. It teased up the match for Sean Spears coming up, I believe, next week on Dynamite. So you know what? I enjoyed this. I really enjoyed this.
One of my favorite segments on the show, and one of the most brilliantly done, well thought out segments. When they did the handcuffs with Wardlow and him walking in, someone showed a scene from Superman where, you know,
I saw that going around. Yeah, that was from, I believe it was from Batman v Superman.
Yeah, and, and Superman was walking with the handcuffs on because, you know, but he was strong enough to break three, but he was just letting him have him. Well, this made me think of another movie, a less probably popular movie, Sin City. Nancy, a stripper played by, it might have been the second movie, but I think it was the first, stripper played by Jessica Alba. She gets kidnapped by a yellow dude, and he's, like, whipping her. And he's like, all I want to do is hear you scream. That's the thing that he needs, is to hear her scream. And he won't kill her until he hears her scream. And he's beating her and beating her, and she just won't make a noise. No matter how much it hurts, she won't give him the satisfaction of screaming. That makes me think of this. Wardlow, did the lashes hurt? Yeah, look at the whelps on his back. They hurt. But was he going to give MJF the satisfaction to hear him scream? He was there. He stood next to MJF when he beat Cody. And he saw how much pleasure and joy that MJF got out of every ounce of pain. And every time Cody writhed in pain and needed help from Brandy and needed help from Dustin, man, MJF fed off of that. And then he used that energy to beat Cody at the pay-per-view. Right? Well, guess what he wasn't going to do? He wasn't going to let MJF have a satisfaction. Hit me again. Hit me as much as you want. I'm not going to show you the pain. So he gets through the seven lashes, and then Sean Spears, he's a big old boy. I think people forget how big he is.
No, Sean is big.
Yeah, he's a big old dude, right? Whoom, he hits him, right? And then, it's like, you can see him kind of. And then the ninth one. Oh, yep, that finally got him, because he kind of hit him in the throat on the ninth one. He didn't just get him all across the back. It was like right in the head. Like when he hit Cody in the front, that was kind of the equivalent of that. And then on the 10th one, you hit any man where you hit him in the 10th one, he's going to go down like a brick. I don't care if you wore it low. I mean, yeah, so you might be Superman, but your nut shots are kryptonite. You know what I mean? So, yeah, and then he went to beat on him more, but he didn't give him the satisfaction in the whips. It showed that Wardlow is a monster. Wardlow is bigger than Cody. Cody's kind of, he's a big man, but he's a normal-sized man. Now, Wardlow, he's a monster. I'm like, straight-up fight with MJF, he destroys MJF. And that's why MJF's trying to avoid it, because he knows what's going to happen. And he's trying to wear him down in every way possible. And this was another way. And Wardlow, being the intellect that he is, yes, he took that joy away from him, which is amazing.
Yeah, it was genuinely such a really, really good segment in itself. So we'll move on, though. Immediately after that, we had Owen Hart men's quarterfinal match yet again. This time, Rey Fénix facing off against Kyle O'Reilly. These two also had a really great singles match. These two were just all over the place. Just some really great work between these two. And the match ended up finishing out as Rey Fénix was going to go and walk the top rope and hit a hurricanrana and then tried to go for a cutter. But then Kyle O'Reilly was able to counter, get him into a submission, and Rey Fénix taps out, and the Canadian himself, Kyle O'Reilly of the Undisputed Elite, advances to the semifinals of the Owen Hart men's tournament. And I guess you could view this as a bit of an upset. So I think this was a really cool moment and a really cool match. It's going to be interesting, too, because now with Adam Cole on the other side of the bracket, you keep that tease of, do we see Undisputed Elite versus Undisputed Elite in the possible finals of this tournament? You keep that tease there. Keep that there. I think that's a really smart move. And I love Fénix, and I love him so much. And you know what? He's still got Penta Oscuro and Pac with the Death Triangle. So, like, this don't really hurt him too much. And I think it helps a lot for Kyle, honestly. I think this really does do a lot for him. So I really like this match, honestly.
They did a great job telling the story. Rey Fénix just came back from the dislocated elbow. Kyle O'Reilly worked on the arm the whole match, eventually getting a tap out with the arm. Nice, consistent storyline. And if you know you want to go with continuity, when Samoa Joe was tacked in his match, who was going to be Kyle O'Reilly's next opponent, what did Jay Lethal and Satnam Singh attack? His left arm. There you go. Now, Kyle O'Reilly is going into the match with Samoa Joe, whenever it happens, looking to attack that arm.
Yeah. So it worked out really well for him, and we got a lot more to talk about with that tournament. Before we get to the rest of the tournament stuff, though, we had the face-off between the Jericho Appreciation Society and basically Jericho going one-on-one facing off against William Regal on the mic. And Moxley and Bryan Danielson with William Regal also came with Eddie Kingston and Santana and Ortiz. Chris Jericho immediately gets on mic and starts thinking, like, he was looking at all these people that have been thorns at his side, and he thinks, who could have put together this violent attack on us last week? And of course, it was orchestrated by his old friend William Regal, and he's like, it's been a while, huh? Quite frankly, I thought you'd be dead by now. And after all this abuse that you put through yourself, it's amazing that you still have a brain that works, sort of. Talking about wasted potential, could have been one of the greatest of all time, like Chris Jericho. Should have been a world-class champion 10 times over, but instead he was a world-class addict. Been fired from every company you've ever worked for, ties that in with Eddie Kingston, and then he weasels himself into AEW on the coattails of his proteges. And then you got Santana and Ortiz, too stupid to realize everything in AEW was because of him. Eddie Kingston, too stupid to stay home after he burned his face, and he's like, hey, by the way, if your wife still needs somebody to give her help, you can just have her call me. Bryan Danielson, greatest wrestler in the world today, but he's just a squeaky clean nerd. And listen, you stick with Regal and you'll have to join the program with Jon Moxley. Royal flush of losers. Regal advises to stay home. And if you don't, I'm going to throw a fireball in your face because I'm a wizard. Regal then gets on the mic and says, listen, Chris, since 1997, when I first met you, I had to listen to you whine. So please be quiet. And you may have been right and had a few truths about his past, and proceeded to just go over and over and over again about all these things. And then just basically it all wound up about him having a toothbrush and he shoved it up his ass and then he gave it to Chris Jericho. So I'll talk a little bit more about that. I love Regal, but this was So basically another kind of like, I did a thing and now you don't know where your mouth has been with that. Punchline. Chris Jericho was like, listen, you guys already obviously want to fight. Double or nothing, you want to fight. So we're going to challenge you to the third ever stadium stampede. Moxley goes, not doing that shit. And he said, this situation calls for you to get your ass kicked live in living color in front of an arena of screaming fans. You five against us five, gang warfare. It's going to be pro wrestling versus sports entertainment. It's going to be the sport we love versus a bunch of stupid bullshit. And, that Eddie Kingston was like, fuck all this, I want to fight right now, so get in the ring. And Jericho and them walk up, and they're like, nah. And then they leave, and they pointed out about how Eddie Kingston and Bryan Danielson, they don't even like each other. We're a loyal machine of a team. You guys don't even have each other on the same page. And Eddie Kingston and Danielson at one point get into a shoving match, and then that's when the segment ended. And we will point out, too, that it has been going around Twitter on multiple videos. Bryan Danielson, because this was another show where they had the elevated ramp up for the stage. Bryan Danielson at one point got his leg stuck in between the ring and the ramp itself. It looked like he was in a decent amount of pain, and it took a little bit, like a few minutes, to get him unhooked from the ramp. But he was able to get out, and he was able to walk out on his own power. There were people that were concerned about him being possibly injured. We have not been confirmed on any possible injury. And in fact, he is supposed to be on Rampage this week. So we are still in the clear for him wrestling. But also at the same time, too, I know Wrestling Observer said, like, people close to him, they like a lot of them laughed it off. And like, he isn't in any serious injury situation, which is a very good thing. But it was a scary thing. And I think we can all agree on the fact that, like, the elevated ramp towards the ring, it causes more harm than good. And it honestly, I don't think it looks good. Like, because lest we forget, when Cody dove out of the ring and proceeded to crack his fucking skull open, it does more harm than good, honestly. There's no need to have it. So, like, it's just at this point where it's just like, just stop using it. There's no need. There's really no need.
I gotta hardcore disagree on this. I love the elevated ramp. I love the presentation. Makes me think of the Clash of Champions when I was younger. There's just obviously was a mistake made. There's a safer way to do it. Hopefully they look into how it was done and get it fixed. But I've always been an elevated ramp guy. I don't know why. I just think it looks really, really cool. So, hey, you know, different minds about different things. But, yes, I think everything should be done safely. So, you know, get that gap fixed, to get to everything close. I haven't seen a lot of things, you know, like bad reasons on the ramp. I mean, Cody, you know, did something that was Cody-ful and landed on his head. You know, that's just what he does. but I'm like, I love the elevated ramp. I've always been a fan of it. I mean, if it goes away, it goes away. And if the reason it goes away is for the safety of wrestlers, you will never hear me complain about it, because that should come first. If it's more harm than good, if it's like literally there's no way to do it safely, get rid of it. I'm 100% behind that.
Moving back to the promo itself, too, are you with me with the whole, like, him, William Regal, going on about, like the whole promo? Because, like, he was very softly spoken, and he wasn't getting very loud, which I know Regal can get loud when he wants to for promos. He's very softly spoken, and, we talked about, too, before, how great that video package was of the Blackpool Combat Club with Regal cutting that promo. And then we have him paired up with Chris Jericho, and he's talking about shoving a toothbrush up his butt. And, like, I will say, the line about – I forgot to mention this, too. The line of Chris Jericho saying, you better watch yourself or I'll piss in your tea again. I appreciate that. That's a nice little, like, wink, wink, nudge, nudge line. That's good. That's at least acknowledging WWE past without, like, constantly shitting on them, which there was that, of course, in this. Because why wouldn't it be? It's literally being paired up as sports entertainment versus pro wrestling. But at the same time, though – I don't really know why Regal's promo amounted to him being like, I shoved a toothbrush up my butt and you brushed your teeth with it. So
that was him getting back for pissing.
Fair, you know? I guess, but like, I don't know. It caught me off guard a little bit, and I was just like, I don't know if he really needed to go down that route.
Regal's kind of supposed to be above all of that.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Yeah, he is Lord Regal. So I don't know. I think the intents, the barbs and stuff, he could leave to Moxley and Danielson. But like I said, William Regal's, there was really nothing memorable about his promo for me. Like you saying that, I'm like, oh, he did say that. I didn't even remember it. I thought it was just, you know, Jericho kind of held the segment until Kingston and Mox did their thing. And, you know, that's fine. I was excited for the 5-on-5. I love that 2.0 is in an elevated position, especially in a sports entertainment versus professional wrestling. I've said on this show many times, that I don't know how WWE didn't know how to work with those guys. They are two of the most entertaining individuals that I've ever seen. It's like they can shit. I've seen them just like literally not say nothing for 10 minutes, and I laugh the whole time and be like, okay, they didn't say anything. So they actually have some meat. They got Jericho backing them up. Daniel Garcia, one of the best up-and-coming wrestlers out there. It's like, you got a limit. And Jake Hager, I mean, this is Jake Hager's type of match. He ain't got a he's just going to fight. He's just a big man out there knocking people around. And then if you look in the history of AEW, if you talk about the MVP of the Plunder match, you cannot look any further than Santana and Ortiz. From the street fight with the best friends, blood and guts, stadium stampedes, they've been in all of them. And they kill it every time. Every time there's a spot from them. Seeing Bryan Danielson in this type of match is going to be interesting. You know, I know he's from the WWE world, but I just don't remember him being in this type of match. Somebody can actually absolutely correct me if I'm wrong. And then Mox, probably just, violence. Violence, I mean, GCW, Texas death matches, you know, in Japan and America. This is what he does. If he doesn't get the pin, I don't know who should. You know, it's gonna be a good fight, and I'm really looking forward to being there for it. If I don't get bled on, I promise you, I'm gonna be a little disappointed.
Yeah, no, I think that's absolutely a fair thing to say. We moved over now to the Women's Owen Hart Foundation quarterfinal matchup that we had. Of course, Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, was going up against whoever was the Joker for the women's tournament. And ladies and gentlemen, I called it. I was right. It's Makito! Yes. Let's go!
Yes.
I'm so happy. I'm so happy, mostly because A, I love her, and B, I know how many neckbeards hate her, and I love seeing them upset.
Yes, and you know, I like seeing Britt in a bit of a comedy match. I mean, this was a bit of a comedy match with the middle fingers and everything. It was a great
person. And her crying like, eh!
Yes, this was a great person to put up against Britt, because losing doesn't hurt Maki Ito. That's not her thing. She's not the person that wins all the time. She's entertaining as hell. She came out singing, and it was awesome. And it's like, you know, it's not really awesome, but it's just the whole presentation. I love her presentation. That was a great use of Maki Ito with Britt Baker. So, yeah, I thought this whole match was just great. Now, was it a technical classic that I would actually give a star rating? No, but it was fun. And sometimes, hey, a lot of times, that is perfectly okay for me.
Maki Ito is one of those characters that's just, like, ridiculous. Like, I love how, like, again, she's, like, one of these characters that, like, it's, like, by itself, Maki Ito's character of, like, oh, she used to be in a girl Japanese pop group, but now she's a wrestler. That by itself is like, okay, there's something there. But also she, like, drops F-bombs and flips you off and is just, like, a bratty bitch. Like, that's another element to it that I love. Like, I love that factoid of it. And the fact that, like, she calls everybody that supports her simps. Like, I love that. It's amazing. And the people hating on Maki Ito, I will be referring to you as neckbeards, and you can stay mad about that. I love seeing her back. Again, like, this is another situation where it's like the Joker was going to lose to Britt. Britt was not losing in the quarterfinals of this tournament. It's not happening.
Shit, they had her opponent set up with Toni Storm. I mean,
literally these two that have been butting heads for this entire buildup of this tournament, you think it's going to be whoever the hell this Joker is going to face Toni Storm? No, it was going to be Britt Baker. And at this point, too, it's not like Maki Ito came in and was fucking like Supermaning Britt Baker. She showed up. She had her amazing moment. She had like the best use of the corner camera I've ever seen, where she's getting slammed into the fucking corner turnbuckle. And she just fucking like full on like Super Saiyan screams at the top of her lungs. It's so funny. And she got her little moments of like really fighting against Britt and giving it her all. She got put in the lockjaw. She tapped out. It didn't last super long. Like, it was fun. And pro wrestling is supposed to be fun. And it was just a really fun moment. And Britt was the right person to win. So I don't see what there's to be mad about.
Man, all I'm hoping is that when they do the fan fest, if they, you know, they can keep Maki Ito around so I can get a picture of her giving me
I will pay extra for me to like lay flat back on my stomach and her to fucking step on me while flipping me off.
Yes.
Like, that would be like the funniest fucking picture ever. Like, I'll pay extra for that because it's so stupid and funny that I want it to happen.
Simping ain't easy, man. Simping.
It ain't, bro. I will say that firmly, firmly. But now we'll move on quickly. This next segment, I know, was one that Floyd had thoughts on as well, and I do as well. Of course, this was the build up towards Serena Deeb and Thunder Rosa for the AEW Women's Championship. One match that I am heavily looking forward to. I am so excited to see that match live for the Women's Championship. I love both of these two. Now, Tony Schiavone was in the ring talking about Double or Nothing and talking about all the things AEW, and then she was interrupted by Serena Deeb and like just being like, I'm sick of hearing you talk. And I heard what you said last week. You said I couldn't beat Thunder Rosa at Double or Nothing. He said, congratulations, after all the years in the business, in one short interview, you've made yourself a complete idiot. And she was like, oh, speaking of other idiots, there was another person who had something to say last week about me, and it was Dustin Rhodes. She invites him out. He comes out. And he was like, listen, you're as much of an idiot as Schiavone. I respected you, but you're being like, oh, you're Thunder Rosa's coach. And it's like, but you want to say all these things about me. It's like, you know what I've been through, my trials and tribulations, shaving my head just to be like considered like noticeable and doing all the things that I did to make people actually take me seriously. You say I can't beat Thunder Rosa and like, you said you couldn't beat that. And he's like, you don't have the balls to answer me right now. And when I beat Thunder Rosa and become AEW Women's Champion, you will respect me. Serena Deeb then slapped Dustin Rhodes as Thunder Rosa was coming down to the ring. And that's when Serena Deeb was blindsided after – like, it was just a really weird – like, the in-ring stuff of how Serena Deeb was able to get the jump on Dustin was trying to hold Thunder Rosa back. She kind of elbows him in the back of the head, and then that's when Deeb proceeds to take the championship, blindsides her, and then leaves with it. It wasn't a great segment. It just wasn't. And I love Serena Deeb, and I love Thunder Rosa. This was not Deeb's good. This was not a good Deeb promo. It just wasn't, honestly. Like, I don't know why this feud couldn't have been built up by, like, a legitimately, like, in-depth video package or something like that. The in-ring promo didn't need to happen, honestly, and it was just awkward. Like, the fact that, like, when Thunder Rosa was already walking down to the ring and then she slaps Dustin while people are popping for Thunder Rosa, like, the slap, no one even, like, you probably didn't even remember the slap because it happened so quickly because, like, Thunder Rosa was coming out, they were popping for her, and then Dustin gets slapped. It was just awkward. And then, like, the whole thing that happened in the ring afterwards with her being held back and then elbowing Dustin and then getting hit with a championship and then Thunder loses the championship because Deeb steals it. It's just, it wasn't good. It just really wasn't that good. And I don't know why we couldn't have just done, like, a really in-depth video package of both of these two, because these two have done so much in pro wrestling over the years. These are two veterans of the game, two of the best women's wrestlers out there right now. And this was just awkward and, like, just not well done.
I will say this because we are the proclivity for that old positivity. I just feel like TK, old TK, and the people that produce the women's segment have to do a better job of putting the women or just any wrestlers in positions to hide their weaknesses and, you know, focus on their strengths. I think these are two women that are brilliant at telling physical stories. They tell their stories in the ring. They hit hard. That is what they do. So that's what you have to make it about, is the wrestling. I probably would have just had Serena Deeb attack Thunder in the ring at some point and put her through a table and blah, blah, blah. And then Thunder cuts fiery promos because Thunder is really good at fiery promos. And then you build the excitement for the match. But this is like, I am a person that doesn't do this for a living. I don't have the pressure of putting on 9 segments or whatever for every show. This is just me watching and making an observation. Dude, I'm in no way saying I can do this. I'm just saying these two people, their skills, and I know Serena needed to tell her story, maybe do a pre-produced sit-down with Tony Khan, Tony Schiavone in the back, where she says,
Or Jim Ross,
where she says everything she said, but she says it in that kind of production where you can kind of look over it, make sure the emotion's coming through, do different takes, and then, okay, this is where you go and tell your story that way. I think she would thrive better in that situation than not. But, I mean, to that point, the only way you learn to do these things is if you kind of get out there and be allowed to fight on your face. So there's people that from that line of thinking, I don't know. It's just, I'm looking at this match, I'm looking at that Double or Nothing, and it literally has no heat. It's just like, it is a match that's going to happen. But am I excited for the match? No. And that's weird because if you heard any of these shows, I love Serena Deeb and I love Thunder Rosa. But I have no excitement for this match. So it's not necessarily what they're doing. It's maybe how it's presented.
Yeah. No, and again, like, these two, like, they already have history, and they already have, like, so much experience in being in wrestling that, like I said, if there was, like, a pre-produced interview segment or, like, video package or something that really just tapped into the history of these two, there would be so much more, like, riding on this. Like, I'm excited about it because I know what these two have done over the years. But like in terms of like in AEW, like what's been presented on TV hasn't really gotten me like hasn't elevated the excitement that I have from the match. Like I have the excitement just when the match was announced by itself. Like that's all I needed. But like for other people, like this needed more. And these two segments that they had where they were standing at the ramp and talking and cutting promos at each other. And then this segment that just happened this week, they didn't accomplish it the way that it needed it. And there could have been a different way that this could have been done, and it just wasn't in a situation like Floyd said, it didn't hide their weaknesses and like highlight their strengths. I'm still crazy excited for this match. I think it's going to be outstanding. It has a really good chance of like really stealing the show, but unfortunately, like I said, like this segment just didn't do it. It was quite disappointing. Hopefully, we get something possibly better in this case to kind of build a little bit of hype. I know we're cutting it close on time for Double or Nothing. Hopefully we have something to get this excitement going for this match. But we'll finish things off with the main event of this week's AEW Dynamite, another Owen Hart Foundation men's tournament quarterfinal match, Adam Cole, baby, versus Jeff Hardy, who Jeff got blindsided by Adam Cole before the match even started. And they get in the ring, they're trading shots. Jeff Hardy had some really good high-flying moments. Adam Cole was doing great work of just really giving it to Jeff. And eventually, though, while Hardy was going for the Swanton Bomb, Adam Cole was able to get out of the way. He had already lowered the knee pad and hit the boom, got the knee strike, got the pin. Adam Cole advances, stops Jeff Hardy, and Matt and Jeff Hardy are proceeding to get up and like confronting Cole. After that happened, the Young Bucks come in, look like they're going to super kick them, and the Hardys turn around and see him coming. That's when Adam Cole comes and blindsides them. They hit the BTE trigger, and then Sting and Darby Allin come out, evening up the odds, but that's when Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish come down, and eventually the Young Bucks hit his super kicks on Sting. The Undisputed Elite gang up on Sting, and they put his leg in between a steel chair, and they smash it. And that is how AEW Dynamite closed out for this week.
Yes, that's going to be an exciting match. It makes me wonder what we're going to get at Double or Nothing versus what we're going to get at the Forum on June 1st, because you know the Young Bucks, they wanted to be in the Forum since the beginning. They want a big match there, so I'm wondering if maybe we get 4-on-4. Maybe if Kyle O'Reilly loses Samoa Joe, then we get Red Dragon and the Young Bucks versus the Hardys, Darby Allin, and Sting at Double or Nothing, and then you get the Hardys versus the Young Bucks at the Staples Center, because that seems like not Staples Center. I keep saying that.
Crypto.com is what you're thinking of, but it's the Forum.
Yeah, Hardys and Young Bucks at the Forum. Seems to be that would be a great main event for June 1st last match in Los Angeles. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that would be something that you could really build towards. And like we said, like having AEW's first ever show in California, like this would be something that would mean a lot to the Young Bucks, so it makes sense why they would want to do something that big. So we'll see what comes of Double or Nothing, but then we'll also see what comes to the Forum show that's happening after Double or Nothing.
Yeah,
but I think that will do it for the Dynamite review. Of course, we have AEW Rampage. By the time you guys are hearing this, it will be airing tonight. So of the matches that are happening tonight, we have Chris Statlander facing off against Red Velvet in a Owen Hart Foundation quarterfinal match. Of course, Chris was replacing Hikaru Shida, who is unable to compete because of circumstances. We're going to see Sean Spears in action against A Giant. The House of Black will be in six-man match action between Evil Uno, Ten, and Fuego del Sol. We're going to see a tag team match between Jon Moxley and Bryan Danielson of the Blackpool Combat Club facing Matt Sydal and Dante Martin. And then we're going to have Scorpio Sky demanding the return of the TNT Championship. Something has to happen with that thing, man. I'm begging you, please. Like, if Miro debuts, comes back on Rampage and just immediately is like, I want it back, like, that would save the day.
Shout,
but, like,
shout out to Miro. He's good. He was in, he was in a new show on CBS called East New York.
Ah.
It looks like he was in the preview for it, and it looks like he kind of plays a criminal, and it looks like he's going to maybe have a bigger role in the series than just being, like, the first episode criminal.
Look at Miro out here becoming an actor like many other pro wrestlers. Very cool. But, man, we miss him on Dynamite. We miss him so, so much.
The TNT title misses him.
Oh my God! Yes, his championship gold baby. He is screaming out for him at this point.
Yes.
So hopefully we'll see some sort of form of development with the TNT championship because it needs it. Redeem the TNT title. It needs to be redeemed. And of course, we're going to have an interaction between Danhausen and Hook, otherwise known as Hookhausen. Shout out, of course, to them rectifying that first T-shirt they put out. That first T-shirt with their faces on it was pretty rough. Second one, significantly better. The one with just Hookhausen written on it, significantly better.
Significantly better. And, yeah, I plan on getting one of them. I don't know which one I'm going to get.
I would say the Hookhausen one. Just the words. You don't need their faces. Like, the faces were drawn really weird. It was like almost how you get, like, those caricatures that you get at, like, the fair. That's how it was drawn.
Yes.
Yeah. But then, of course, now we'll get into the preview for next week's Dynamite for stuff that we have. Of course, we have Wardlow versus Shawn Spears in a steel cage with MJF as the special guest referee. Kyle O'Reilly versus Samoa Joe in a semifinal matchup. Britt Baker versus Toni Storm also in a semifinal matchup. And then Ruby Riott will be facing the winner of Red Velvet and Chris Statlander from AEW Rampage in the semifinals of the Owen Hart Foundation tournament. A lot of those matches getting announced, we're getting right up to the point where we're going to get the final set up. So they're just getting those done right now because we're coming up on Double or Nothing very, very quickly.
Yes, absolutely. I'm looking forward to it. I actually know who the Giant is, and it's going to be a pleasant surprise to everybody. Most of you have seen him before. Not going to give it away. That's going to be fun. Dynamite next week. Oh, my God. Samoa Joe and Kyle O'Reilly, really looking forward to that match. Yeah, I'm just like, we got a very exciting week. We're going to be in Vegas.
For yes.
One, but we're not going to be watching the show, which is hilarious. Yeah.
Yes. So, now during Dynamite, I'm gonna be seeing Silk Sonic.
He's gonna be seeing Silk Sonic. I will literally, like, during the time Dynamite is playing, I might be out of Oklahoma City because my wife gets off at like 4, and so we're gonna be in the car leaving like 5 o'clock. So Dynamite comes on at 7 o'clock my time. So honestly, I might make her drive first and watch Dynamite on my phone as we're rolling down the street.
I won't even be able to check my phone because Silk Sonic's show will be holding our phones hostage. We will not be able to use our phones during the show. they're going to have like those like technological bags that like keep your phone locked up during the show unless it's for like a legitimate emergency. Dude, so I will not be able to keep up with Dynamite while it is happening.
I went to see Eddie Griffin at a comedy show, and he did something like that, made you turn off his phone. And the first three jokes, I completely understand why he did. He would have definitely been canceled.
Yeah, no, I mean, there you
go. When I say, like, definitely been canceled if anybody recorded that and put it online. So it was like, this is the greatest comedy show ever because I pretty much have, you know, that kind of sense of humor. So it was really, really.
But you will be. You might be seeing Gabriel Iglesias possibly. I might be
Thursday night. Thursday night we get. So we'll get in Phoenix the morning, and we're gonna have lunch with a friend of Crystal's, and then we're gonna drive to Vegas. So if we can get there time, get checked in, get a nap, I'll probably just go buy like one of the upper level seats to his show because I just think Fluffy's really funny.
Fluffy's hysterical, and he's like the most. In terms of famous people that follow me on Twitter, he is the most famous person that follows me on Twitter. Second behind Ian Riccaboni and Jack the Jobber.
We were talking about that before the show. All I got is Thunder Rosa.
That's more than I got.
You know, I love the Thunder. When I see her again, see if she remembers me. I know. Yeah, it's always funny because she doesn't.
Yes.
No, but yeah.
But yeah, that is all of our AEW review and previews. But I know we have maybe one or two other headlines to get into before we close things out.
Yes. What was I going to hit on? Oh, yes. I was going to ask your thoughts on the Boston Glow Connection walking out on the
Yes. Yes. It's been so huge. We can't not talk about it, even though we are an AEW podcast. Massive breaking news.
No. You see, when people say, well, you're an AEW podcast, it plays in. The reason they can walk out is WWE.
Well, and the reason also why reportedly they're not going to be fired.
Yeah, because WWE knows. Sasha. I truly believe if Sasha Banks gets released by WWE, in 91 days, she will be the AEW Women's Champion.
Seriously.
Like day one. I mean, Trinity, a.k.a. Naomi, because I'm trying to use her other name because that's what she'll probably be going to.
Yeah, Trinity.
yeah, if she goes by. I always said I like her real name as a wrestling name way more than I like the name they made up for her. You know what I mean? So
Trinity Fatu?
Yeah, that's a wrestling name.
So, like, it is a wrestling name.
What else you got to do? That's a wrestling name. So, she would be right there in the picture 91 days after you got there. And because that's the case, there's nothing you can do. It's like you can suspend them, you can bury them, you can all that stuff, but you can't release them. You can't try to make – you can try to do whatever you can to make a name for them, but, you know. Sasha Banks.
It's just a weird situation.
She's the biggest name in WWE. Naomi sits at the table with the head. You know, that's family. That's literally family. So, are you going to piss Roman Reigns off? I don't know. Does Roman Reigns care? I don't know. I mean, it's such a fucking landmine. Those two women left because those two women could leave. I respect Doudrop.
It's another situation where they've become such big, especially Sasha.
Yeah.
Such big stars that, like, listen,
and you've released,
they need them more than you need them.
And you've released so much of the other talent. It's like Doudrop and Nikki A.S.H., they do this. They're released on Wednesday. No doubt in my mind. Those two women actually have the power to do what they did and not face a lot of punishment for it.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? The forbidden door is wide open for either one of them. They come on through. I always said there was no women's Chris Jericho. I said that. I was like, there is no women's Chris Jericho that you can build off and completely put a shot in your division's arm. Sasha Banks, Mercedes would be a women's Chris Jericho. That's steroids into the arm of the women's division.
Yeah, I mean, literally, but yeah, just a fucking crazy situation.
Yeah, no, I just a crazy situation. Apparently, they made themselves known that they weren't happy with the direction it was going, and it, like, on one way, I see it. I'm like,
sure.
Like, the storylines, the stories online are, I did, and they've come from enough places I can pretty much say this is the story. They were told that they just won the tag team belts, and I'm making they were told that the tag team belts were going to really matter. And in their first, second pay-per-view after it, it looked like they both were going to be in individual matches against the champions of each brand and lose.
Mm-hmm. So, just to use to elevate the actual women's champions, not the tag champions.
Yes, but what does that do to the tag team champions?
Continues to make them your worst championships that you have on their roster.
So basically, you're saying the titles mean nothing. And to further their point, they literally left the titles when they left. They're like, these don't mean anything. These are decoration.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, if you've released yourself into a corner where you can't find us tag team challengers, that's not on us. You know?
And again, this is not the first time that they've labeled Sasha Banks as hard to work for or, like, all the things that have been coming out about her. So, and again, with everything else that's been coming out, it seems like, listen, like, They've made valid points. It's like, oh my God, they have thoughts of their own. Run for the hills.
It's the same argument FTR had.
It's the same argument that Tony Storm had.
You can put the tag team belts on us, but until you make the tag team belts mean something, until we're in a meaningful feud, until they're booked meaningful, it doesn't mean anything to be the tag team champions. And that's basically what these two are saying, if I'm venturing a guess. But yeah, I wish them the best. You know, I'm always gonna stand with the talent. You know, do what you can do. You know,
yeah.
You know,
these companies at the end of the day are companies, but talent always. It's the same thing with Big Swole. We stood with Big Swole with when she had issues with it, and like again, it's her issues, and like. We stand with the talent. That's just how it goes.
Yeah, so I'm always going to have their back, but I'm looking through that door waiting for Mercedes to come through. I'm just like, hey, Vince, show your power. Release them. Get angry. Release them. Do it.
Look, you got Nick Khan already moving up the Mortal Kombat ladder of like passing Stephanie McMahon now that she's stepped back. Like, y'all want to cut fucking like big contracts? Sasha's a big contract. Like, cut that contract if you want. You want to save some money, cut that contract.
I think TK fixed that contract right on up. No, but, yeah, so we'll see how that goes going forward. I thought I had something else, but I can't remember what
honestly,
it was.
Honestly, it's just continuing to build to Dole or Nothing because we're just eking to the point where we get into Vegas. Like, dude. We just want to be in Vegas.
Dude, so I only work Monday and Tuesday next week, and they're probably going to be the two longest days of my existence. But that's how it always is when you get to vacation. When you're time for vacation, you always wish you took one more day off.
Of course.
Yeah.
But that's regardless, it. I think – oh, did you have anything else you want to say real quick?
No, I'm saying that's it for me.
All right. Well, then that will do it for this episode of All Things Elite. Guys, thank you so, so much for sticking with us and listening to the podcast and supporting us. We really do appreciate it. And you can keep supporting us by downloading the show on Google or Apple Podcasts or sharing us all around with your friends, family, coworkers, whoever you wish. If you listen to us on Spotify or any other podcasting platform, wherever you get your podcasts, thanks for listening. And you can leave a rating and a review. If you're so inclined, you can leave a donation through Red Circle. On Twitter, we are at ATElitePod. At Social Suplex are the guys that make this show possible. Check out all the other shows they have on their network, including Keeping It Strong Style if you want to keep getting yourselves prepared for AEW New Japan Pro Wrestling, The Forbidden Door. That is the best possible podcast you can listen to for all your New Japan Pro Wrestling information. So if you are not familiar with much New Japan and you're getting excited for Forbidden Door, but you want to know what to expect, those guys can help you out. Every single chance they can, they will help you out with that. I am at Austin Sumwitz, SZUMOWICZ, and Floyd is at Floyd Johnson Jr. on Twitter. And with all of that out of the way, before we get ourselves into Vegas, we will give ourselves off to Floyd so he can take us home on this episode of All Things Elite.
Well, thank you, everyone, for listening to the show. We are at the countdown to Double or Nothing, and I will remind you all to keep supporting all the wrestling as much as you want or can stand. Make sure you're checking out, if you have the NJPW World, make sure you're checking out our boy Mr. Willie Yuta in the Best of the Super Juniors, because he's killing it over there. I've only seen his first match. He didn't win, but it was a really, really good match. I'm looking forward to what's going to happen going forward as we get through the weeks, but yeah, I will give a full recap right now, recap of all his matches and all his results next week. So that'll give everyone time to catch up. Make sure you go to Keeping It Strong Style. Like I said, check them out. But be nice to each other. I'll say it all the time. It's not that serious. I see the meanest comments ever in the world over wrestling takes, and it's just like, I know, just be nice to each other. If you want to be you want Twitter to be better, make it better. That's all I can say about that. And I leave you with how I always leave you. Whether it is home, work, or school, always do your best to be elite.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course, present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing Board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.